This is Wisconsin Today. It's the 50th anniversary of the Safe Drinking Water Act, signed into law in 1974. It set federal drinking water standards for the country.
Recently, Wisconsin has seen some new funding to improve water infrastructure and drinking water safety, but some advocacy groups say more is needed to support vulnerable communities dealing with contamination of their water supply by lead, nitrates, or PFAS chemicals.
Earlier this month, leaders from more than 30 organizations signed an open letter to the state legislature asking for a major investment in water infrastructure. Peter Burris is government affairs manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters, one of the groups that were part of that open letter. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before we dig into what you're looking for in Wisconsin right now, the Safe Drinking Water Act, 50th anniversary today, what kind of changes did it make possible?
Yeah, so December 16th, 1974, 50th anniversary is a great opportunity to look at the progress we've made and talk about what we still need to do. So appreciate you having me on. The law is really known for establishing our national drinking water standards. So today here in the United States, we have public health-based standards for more than 90 contaminants. So think scary contaminants like arsenic, mercury, E. coli. And then in a 1996 amendment to the bill, the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program was created, through which states get funding out to impacted communities for their water infrastructure. And yet the act provides no protections for our groundwater. Two-thirds of Wisconsinites rely on our groundwater as their source for drinking water. A third of Wisconsinites rely on private wells for their groundwater for their private wells as their source for drinking water. So we need to take action there. And also we just need more grant funding into this program. You know, given levy limits and municipal debt limit constraints, we see lots of rate hikes across the state and the burden of infrastructure upgrades at the local level, when at the same time the state is sitting on a $1 billion surplus that we could be using to address some of these problems.
And to that point, you recently joined that open letter signed by more than 30 groups calling on the state legislature to take action on some of what you were just talking about, putting money into safe drinking water. What are the big changes? What are the big investments you and your colleagues are hoping to see?
Yeah, well, if I could first, kind of a little lay of the land in terms of the problems we're still seeing. Mm-hmm. So across the state, we know that 91 public water systems exceed the federal standards for PFAS, which are tied to increased cholesterol levels, thyroid disease, certain cancers, and pregnancy complications. We know that there are around at least 150,000 lead service lines scattered across more than 70 Wisconsin communities, tied to hearing loss, lower IQs, developmental delays, behavioral challenges, emotional impacts like anxiety and depression. And we know there are an estimated 42,000 private wells that exceed the nitrate standard, which is nitrates tied to health effects, including cancer, birth defects, and even infant death. And so we know that around the state, there are too many communities who are brushing their teeth, washing their dishes, mixing their baby formula, and preparing their meals with these 5-gallon water jugs of drinking water because they can't trust the water that's coming out of their tap. So meanwhile, we are sitting on a $4 billion surplus, and we need these investments in our public water infrastructure, support for private well owners, and preventative action. And so that's why we, in partnership with 30 different organizations, a combination of local leaders from impacted communities, faith-based leaders, hunters and anglers, health experts, environmental policy experts, and legal experts, all came together on this letter to the legislature, asking them to invest $953 million into our public water infrastructure, to take concrete steps to support private well owners, and to support policy on preventative action.
I want to jump into that preventative action. Obviously, we want to remediate lead lines where they are. What kind of things could we do to keep things like nitrate contamination and then future PFAS chemical pollution in groundwater and well water?
Yeah, well, on nitrate, we know that programs that pay farmers based on how well they're getting nitrate, keeping nitrate out of our groundwater, that we should be looking more at those pay-for-performance-based programs. On PFAS, we should be looking at what other states are doing. Minnesota has already passed a phase out of PFAS in non-essential consumer products. And so they're leading the way and reaping the economic benefits of leading the way. So we should be doing the same thing. And on lead, we know that we need to support lead investigations in our properties. We have folks moving into rental properties, and they don't know if those properties are safe to live within. So we should be placing an expectation on folks or allowing local communities to require those local inspections. And we know that all of this has a huge economic benefit. We cited research in our letter that the state could save up to $2 billion annually across these three different contaminants by taking substantive action.
Where do those savings come from?
They come from the savings associated with some of the different health impacts. So think about PFAS and the health impacts associated with hyperthyroidism, low birth weights. Think about lead and the health, the impacts associated with cardiovascular disease, IQ loss, short-term damage to cognitive function. Think about nitrate and the health impacts associated with colon, ovarian, thyroid, bladder, and kidney cancer. When we prevent those health impacts, we save our families, our state, a lot of money.
In our last few moments, have you gotten much response from this letter yet from state lawmakers as they get ready for next year's session?
Some response, yeah. And I think, you know, one thing that we're really trying to get at with this letter is that over the past 14 years, our legislature has really operated with this scarcity mindset where impacted communities have been pitted against each other for limited funding. You know, I've heard action on lead is fine, but my constituents are dealing with PFAS, or action on PFAS is fine, but my constituents are dealing with nitrate. And that doesn't work for people who can't drink their water, and it doesn't need to be the way that things are. We know that access to safe drinking water should not be your zero-sum competition, and we have the resources to address these issues. But we really need folks to engage. You know, we have fair maps now. We've got a purple legislature. We've got about a fourth of the legislature new to the building. And so this session is a particularly good opportunity to build bipartisan relationships and deliver for Wisconsin communities. But we're counting on folks across the state to help make that happen. So.
And we'll leave it there. That's Peter Burris with Wisconsin Conservation Voters talking about drinking water infrastructure, pollution, and safety here in Wisconsin.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, Milwaukee County emergency responders can now start life-saving blood transfusions for critically injured patients on the scene.
You can actually get it well before you even arrive at the hospital and start to be stabilized in the field.
An ER doctor on a new initiative to help save trauma patients, that's next on WPR News.